We continue with La Suite Numérique, and we will see, I think, one very particular and very new component of it, presented by Sylvain. And yeah, happy to see you. Stage is yours.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for having me. I'm Sylvain. I've been doing development and open source and conferences for a while. And last year, I really wanted to do it full-time open source contributor. And I thought, well, the best place to do it is an actual real open source project by the government. So I joined the DINUM, which is the French IT state department. French IT management, let's say, as an entrepreneur intérêt général, kind of entrepreneur, but in the public sector. And they sent me to another administration, which is ANCT. So I will explain what that is. I want to start, maybe we are in a university, so let's start with a geography lesson about France. This is Hauts-de-France, the region closer to here. And you know, France is made of more than 35,000 small towns, municipalities, local administrative regions. Each one has a mayor, has a few employees, has a domain name, maybe, has an email contact address, software running Windows, or whatever. But it's a really, really small unit that we have to work on in France. And each of them is independent. The state cannot actually force them to use anything. It's written in our constitution. They are free to be administered as they like. So we have a huge problem. And one of the first thing I did when I arrived was to do a daily scan of all the domains, all the emails, and to check. This is, for instance, the map of the DMARC with the quarantine records on all their contact email address. So you can see there is a lot of work to do. About 60% of them all around France don't even own a real domain name. So they might be on free webmail, they might be on Gmail. And this is like your mayor's contact address is a Gmail address. So you can see how this can be a real issue. So this is the mission of the agency I work on, the ANCT, which is Cohésion des Territoires, which really the goal is to bring up all those smaller administrative municipalities to professional standards, to more secure standards, and to really give them the tools to administer themselves securely. Obviously, with open source, we are part of the broader La Suite movement. We are not DINUM, but we are kind of a sister suite to DINUM, which we call La Suite Territoriale, kind of distribution, if you will, of some of the same tools, some different, specifically for those small municipalities. And so we have the same SSO, we have messages which I'm talking on, a lot more projects from La Suite. We also, this is also different from La Suite, we strongly encourage the regional level to self-host the tools. We don't want to have one single national instance for that. We, in our ideal schema, every larger administrative region will have its own instances so that we can have a real federation of security, of governance, and of data. Of course, it's my mighty lessons. And yeah, I just wanted to say we have come a long way, since 10 years. I think open source now is the default for most EU administrations. So just take a bit to reflect on how lucky we are, but we have to work for it. I mean, it won't happen without work. So this is messages. This is our own email application. It's still in beta state, but it's live. You have there the busy address of our contact mailbox. This is a real screenshot from yesterday. I anonymized a bit. I hope I didn't miss anything, personal information. But yeah, so it works. We think it's a nice UI. It's really made simple for people that might not be very technical. Again, they are coming from free web mails. They are coming from Gmail when we are lucky. So we want to build for them something that they won't ask a lot of questions to configure or to use. And for now, the few users we have confirmed that. I want to talk today, not to so much demos, but talk about the design, about the design choices we made when building that. We came, our funding was actually from the French Security Office, and one of the top requirements was we don't want any password of any kind anywhere, full stop. There is no password in the system. We have some agents that have hardware devices to log in themselves. Some might have a prior SSO where there is still a password, but even that will be removed eventually. the goal is that for the scope of the mail application, there is absolutely no password, which is also true for the rest of the suite. But at least for us, of course, it's a big problem because IMAP is built on passwords. There is some extensions, but no mainstream clients support them. So this was really a foundational design choice. Also, we want to have like a multiplayer experience on the mailboxes. You know, the contact addresses of our tones, we see them really as support addresses. You know, not so much individual mailboxes, but think more of like Zendesk or Zamad, or really things that you have maybe one, maybe 10, maybe 100 people working together on the same email address at the same time. This is what's happening, you know, with a contact at yourtown.fr. So that shaped the data model quite a bit. We want to reuse the UI kit, which made us build a new front end. We want to be very cost efficient. We have object storage for the mails. As I said, easy self-hosting. And of course, we know that, you know, we are building this for our own needs, which are kind of specific, obviously. We are totally aware that we still want to do open source. We still want other people to use that, which might mean different configurations in different instances. We are definitely open to that as an open source project. Even if we won't make those choices, it's completely free for people that we use to make them. And so I want to focus on that. Obviously, it's the title of the talk. It's what maybe the most, controversial, at least that was the most new for us. You know, dropping IMAP meant that we kind of had a blank page, you know, to design, okay, what would it look like if we went, you know, 100% into that design? We forget everything we knew, so there's no folders, no persistent connections, you know, nothing else. We can actually also build a kind of a different data model. I mean, if it's just dropping IMAP to drop IMAP, we could have just shut down, you know, the port of the server, and then we'd be fine. We took that as an opportunity to go further and to build really a new data model centered around the threads, not around messages. You know, so the primary data model for us is a thread. A thread isn't even linked specifically to a mailbox. It's an object of its own. And a mailbox, or several mailboxes actually, can also have access to a thread. So if you received an email in the wrong contact address, you never actually have to forward it again, which is, you know, the source of so many issues. You can just swap its pointer to a different email address, and it will be transferred, the access to it will be transferred automatically. This is something that's obviously very hard to do if you don't start from scratch. Also, you know, obviously not having IMAP, you know, means you can't use Outlook at all, which actually for us is a huge bonus. Of course, it will be also the core of our mission. I mean, like, you know, we are talking about sovereignty. It's fine to do anything you want, open source. If the end users continue to use Outlook, you've kind of already lost, right? So for us, the fight goes to that. I think it goes also to replacing Windows, but that's for another talk. But still, yeah, it's a way to force them to use open source, to use your tool that is thought for them and that is secured for them the way you want. And so the ability to build a tightly coupled front end, which comes with that, you know, allowed us also in lots of new things. We reuse the same editing component as docs, as you saw before, which is block.js. There's no talk about it today at FOSDEM. We use it for the editors that you can write to mail with the exact same experience as all of the other last suite components. Obviously, you can do LLMs, you can do custom stuff. You can also do rich threads that we call them, where you can have private messages between users that don't go out. You can reinvent anything you like around the thread message, the thread model, which is a big plus to innovate, I guess. You can also do real time. You can do all sorts of stuff. Though we didn't, when starting from scratch, we didn't want a blank page either. You know, we didn't want to make the same mistakes others have made before. And when we looked at, you know, how to design a data model around mail, it was more than obvious that JMAP was the right foundation, you know, to build it. As you know, JMAP is a protocol, but it's also a spec. You know about what is a thread, what is a message, what is a field, what is a blob, and all those notions. We actually took them natively and built a data model around that. Even if we didn't build on day one a JMAP endpoint to interact with the protocol, we add JMAP objects in the core from day one. And today we actually have a PR open, which you can try to use to actually interact with the server with the JMAP compatible clients. You will miss some features, but the basic data exchanges do work already, which is fine. Thank you. Quickly, the architecture of the system. You know, it's About reusing the most components that we can from other LastSuite projects. So all the LastSuite projects have a Django backend that we reused it. They have Celly workers. We did reuse that. Postgres everywhere. All the front ends are built with Next. So we made the exercise, okay, let's look at Docs, let's look at Visio, all the LastSuite apps that have been widely successful. What would it look like if we took the exact same frameworks and bricks and we built a mail with that? And we ended up on this kind of architecture. So it's nothing crazy really. There are a bit more stuff, you know, when you complexify that are all optional. You know, you can add AI on the side, you can add spam processing, you can add even hooks, you know, to receive messages. We really, you know, we call that messages and not mails because we think even contact forms that you might have on websites should end up there without a gateway. You know, you should have a native API call with a token or whatever to send the message into the platform, which is kind of made obvious if you have a Django basis. We also embed, you know, KeyClock, which is again optional, but is a way for when you create a mailbox to also create an identity that's linked to it that can then, you know, flow through the SSO and then log in again, not just in messages but in all the rest, you know, in a suite of apps. Email has a special place because it's where, you know, the identities come from. So this is also integrated into the design of the project. Want to also to focus, you know, on why for us making state minimal was really important. You know, when you want to self-host a typical email system, you know, we did a huge benchmark before going on in that path. You know, you have, I don't know, like Docker Compose with like tens or maybe 20 different components. Each of them have states, and if you want to backup, if you want to restore, if you want to crash something and restart it or to scale it, it's a huge pain in the ass. So we really took the aim to try to minimize where the primary state is stored, so that we have only one single place to backup. There is no queues anywhere. There is no, you know, in-transit sessions that we have to persist. Everything actually can be restored from Postgres. You know, we have an open search on the side, you know, to make search, but even that can be entirely rebuilt from the primary database. It's also because of our scale. You know, there's a talk later today on Gmail scale, you know, for Starwart, and I think that's a huge thing to have in the open source community. You know, for us, for our scope, we don't target a billion users. You know, there are 2 million local agents for the municipalities in France. All of that can for sure run on a single Postgres. But even then, we want to, you know, as I said, self-host on bigger administrative regions. So for sure, you know, if OpenAI can run ChatGPT on a single Postgres, we can run, you know, all the metadata about the emails on that as well, and then offload the bodies on object storage to have big storage for that. But those two are really the only primary storage, and that's really a huge plus when you self-host. How do we do that? You know, at the inbound level on SMTP, we just, you know, instead of we still have PostFix, you know, it's a nice piece of software again, but we don't, you know, use it to queue anything. It delivers to the MDA, to the backend, as the SMTP session is open. You know, it does like a rate limiting first, rough checks on the email, then sends it to the backend, which does this mailbox exist, and a few more checks, but very fast checks that can be inline, and then it drops it to a Postgres and then returns directly to the connected SMTP. So that means that we can crash PostFix, we can restart it, we can scale it to 1,000 PostFixes, and it will be easy as pipe. Then we have, you know, a system of workers, asynchronous workers that can do all the processing of the email. From queues, they can check if it's spam, they can flag it, they can offload it to S3 later. We can do anything we want, but the hot pass at the beginning is done entirely in session. Same for outbound, and there we kind of did something which I think is a bit new, is that, you know, we do direct MX delivery right from the backend. Of course, we can proxy, you know, to manage IP reputations, but that allows us inside the code to have differentiated return statuses for each of the recipients of a single message, which means that, you know, you don't receive any bounce if one of your recipients failed the message. You can actually get the status directly and show in the UI, you know, well, all of those were sent correctly, but this one failed, and you can actually choose to retry a single recipient for a message, or maybe to edit it and send it again because you messed up the email, or you can just dismiss it because it's a permanent error. That's also something which is made possible, you know, by a new data model that we enjoy very much. What's next for us? So everything I showed is either in production or OpenPR. As I said, it's still beta. We are still working hard at it. It's still not at the level of maturity as other LastSuite projects, but we hope it will be this year. We are building the missing bricks. When you say no IMAP, of course, the next question that comes is what about mobile? We're also building, a mobile app from the get-go. We built the front-end to be packageable into a React Native app. So it will be the same front-end, the same code base, but packaged as a native app. We're also hard at work on calendar with the exact same kind of choices and centralized the contact repository. So we hope to have all of that, ready in production, deployed this year. I want to give a nod also to some of the first people that are using this open source project and using it for their own uses. Moza Cloud, which some of you may know, is a Netherlands company that is hosting and offering instances of some of those open source projects to the public. You can you'll be able to go there, create a domain and use the same project, but for your own private use or for your enterprise or for whatever. And we are really open to get in touch with any other people that may want to start their own suites, their own webmail, their own server with those kind of design choices, and we'll help them do it for sure. You might have seen the last few days, a few announcements that prove that we think government-made and supported platforms and open source has a bright future to replace some of the proprietary software. We think it's a fight worth fighting, and we hope to do it all together. This is a few links to join. We have an open metric channel where you can chat. We have a contact email. You already showed what it looks like from the inside. I'll be there all weekend. Feel free to ask questions either now or later, and thank you in advance. Thanks a lot. Any questions?
Thank you, sir. So, who goes first? Let's start here.
Is there any feature or use case that is specific to the fact that you're delivering for municipalities, small municipalities? Because this looks like anything that an organization could use, whether it's government or not. Is there anything specific, or is it just plain generic?
So is there anything specific, for small towns in France into this product? We try not to be too specific. I think we took the kind of population, the kind of users. We took the security, challenges or constraints that we had, and we did something that, of course, would be useful not just for us, but for a wider range of people. So I think any organization with very active shared mailboxes could get a huge value from that. Our primary target, is not necessary to replace all the agents' personal or private webmails, but first, to replace the contact, the shared mailboxes that have a lot of concurrent users replying to the same email address, and currently doing it with hacks, with labels, with whatever. So that is our primary target, and I think that is what we try to do first. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing your architecture. Very useful. How do you handle, I see that you have a lot of single points of failure in the way how you design it. So how do you handle actually here the failover on the S3, on the Postgres, on Redis? So I understand this is a lot of simplification. Just curious, what's your take? Because your architecture in the end would be serving the whole government.
Sure, but actually the whole government is pretty small, how can we scale? It's too good. sure. Yeah, no, the question is how can we scale with a few points of failure like in that schema? We think it's not too big actually, a few million people on a single Postgres instance by today's standards is fine, Again, like OpenAI has 900 million people on a scale Postgres, so we think the single point of failure have become quite big. And as I said, we try to keep the primary state in a single location. So the Postgres is the big, if that fails, most of the infrastructure fails. But if the Redis, the OpenSearch, the workers, if anything else fails, actually the system stays up and you can read your emails. The fact is that we've tried to push as much processing to the salary workers. And the salary workers, can crash. You can scale them up and down. They are fully, stateless.
But if they fail, then you're not going to have as per your previous slide, then you're not going to have the delivery working of the messages.
Yeah, we'll have, like, if they crash for a few minutes, we'll have a few minutes delay in email delivery, but then we start again and it will be fine. You know, like, I think the hard part is the part that must be up, you know, 100%, like the Postgres server. That's the center. You have to be able to manage Postgres, but many cloud services today, you know, give you managed Postgres with incredible uptime, low cost, and backups, and everything that you need. So first, that is our primary, you know, point. And yeah, of course, all around, we try to build things that can crash and be restarted easily or be scaled.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Eric, question over there, is it?
Yes. So you said that JMAP was a huge inspiration. Is there any reason you didn't actually use JMAP or maybe extend JMAP?
Sure. So the question, yeah, I got it. I was going to do it. Yeah, the question is why didn't we use, like, for instance, Stalwart on the backend or like a JMAP server and then use that natively? You know, we had different, you know, prism. Like we have constrained the budget. We have existing technologies. We have existing backends. We also wanted, you know, to be very good at shared mailboxes. So all the design, you know, inputs that we took, we did an extensive benchmark at the beginning and really pushed it to reuse, you know. That kind of backend, which is, you know, entirely open source, which we can tweak as we want. You know, we as an agency also, we have to support, you know, tens of thousands of users on the phone by email that won't be very technical. So we really want it to be 100%, you know, sovereign on the backend and the things we would be able to fix. I love Rust, but there is almost zero Rust, you know, people in the French government or in the French agencies where we are that would have the manpower, you know, to contribute to that. So we were in a Python environment. We just you know, built a Python server like all the rest. I think that was the primary from where we started.
In the German installations, we see a lot of specific feature requests for the functional mailboxes, so shared mailboxes in the municipalities, also
yep.
in the statewide platforms. We spend quite a lot of effort into that parental leave delegation whatsoever. What is your experience in French administration regarding sharing of user mailboxes and functional mailboxes, and did you also do a lot of feature development there?
Yeah, so the question is how do we support shared mailboxes? What developments did we do? So yeah, as I said, when we started the data model and really the project, shared mailboxes were at the center of what we wanted to do. So for instance, for the editor, we reuse Blocknode.js, which it's not yet live, but it's doable in docs already, which you can actually see the cursors of other people writing you know, the same document. That would be doable inside because we are using that component. So you have multiplayer at the very low level in the editor, but you also have multiplayer at the higher level on the, you know, on the threads that you collaborate on the OpenID accesses. You know, we have a brick that maps any OpenID user to any number of mailboxes that they have access to. So we have, you know, the rights management system is really flexible because, you know, we don't have passwords, we don't have, you know, the right way to delegate the access to a mailbox is just to add a new OIDC you know, user to that mailbox as a data record. We can really finely manage who has access to what. And as I said, in our data model, even the mailbox is not even the top level of access. Is the thread, so we can actually, if you receive a thread on a mailbox, you can share it with other mailboxes, and they will see the same thread. They won't see a copy, you know, of the email. This is for us a core feature, you know, to be able with several maybe services or administrations to collaborate on the same discussion with only a single, you know, a single mail from the exterior for the end user. So yeah, for us it was really core to the data model to share threads and not mailboxes and surely not passwords.
Thank you. Yeah. Putting myself in the queue with my head of data portability enthusiast, I was wondering how do you consider things like maybe migration or also like people exercising the right of exporting data, even though probably in the government context particular that's not something people necessarily need, but I assume this is also supposed to be used probably outside of that. Is the JMAP API is a solution you have in mind for that, or is there any other APIs or plans for that?
OK, so I will repeat your question. So, yeah, because you don't have a mic, right?
Yeah.
OK, so what about exports and data portability? So for sure, yeah, it's a core feature. One of the first features we did was the import. So we can import mbox, we can import IMAP. We cannot import JMAP yet, but maybe we could in the future. And there is a PR open, actually, to export also as well all of your data in the same mbox format. Yeah, so it's not so much for moving data around, but we have to be to be really tight with personal data and and with people's data in the government, yeah, for sure. So that's closely monitored.
So you see any challenges with the threats model there? Because I understood it's very flexible to assign data from some X to Y. So could there also be data leaking that way in an export?
So we think that the surface is smaller because we control we know this is the single place they will be able to access their users. So we think we can build. The talk with CSS before was extremely interesting. We already iframe each single message like was recommended, and we can really be in control of the environment. So I'm sure there might be new threat models. I'm really impatient to discover them, but for sure we'll be able to fix them in a single time for all the users at once. Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Is it already live? Okay.